So tonight, one of the things I love to do, if you're brand new at Second Chance, this is nothing super deep, and there's nothing about me super deep. If you're familiar with Second Chance, you'll get this. I love to kind of survey the room, kind of feel like, see what I got, see what I'm working with. So let's say that we're all at either the lake or a pool, and we're about to get ready to get in the water. And right before we get in, somebody says, hey, before you get in the water, here's what you need to know. Water's cold. Now, at that point, you've got two options. There are two types of people in the room. The first type, you're going to be like, oh, the water's cold. And so you're going to get in, you're going to kind of put your feet in, and you're going to kind of feel that out. And you will get up to your knees, and you'll be like, oh, it's cold. And the person's going to say, yeah, that's what I said. I said the water's cold. But you're going to be up to your knees, and then you're going to get to your waist, and everybody always goes, ooh. And we won't talk about why, but yeah, that'd take your breath, right? And you kind of slowly but surely kind of get in the water. The second type of person, once you're like, you know what? If it's cold, it's cold. And so let's just go. Let's just get in, and we'll just figure it out later. Somebody will pull me out if it's too cold. So I just need to know what I'm working with. How many people just slowly ease into the water? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, you are probably not saved. I'm just throwing that out there because how many people just go in? Now, some of y'all raised your hand twice, and you're lying, and you're in church, and you shouldn't do that, but that's me. I don't care how cold it is. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go. Now, the reason I bring that up is because that's the way a lot of people approach their walk with Jesus. When Jesus makes the next step clear, like we know what our next step is, like we know it's to confess this or maybe forgive somebody or whatever, there are some people who are like, well, I know what my next step is, but I need to kind of maybe ease into it, and I don't know, I'm going to try this. When we know what it is, and there's some people that are like, you know what, if this is my next step, if this is what Jesus, who died for me, wants, let's go. In fact, I put it this way, just for kicks and giggles. Some people, when it comes to taking their next step, they're like, I don't know. We just kind of see how it goes. And then others of us, we're like, let's faithfully go. I don't know where your mind is. That's what that means. Now, let me do something real quick for all the internet haters. I want to help y'all out. I want to just here we go. That will be online tomorrow. Tuesday. Haters don't take a day off. They'll be online tomorrow. Let's faithfully go. I mean, let's go. If this is the next thing that God wants in my life, and I'm just asking, if you are a follower of Jesus, and he said, this is the next thing I want you to do, what good reason do we have for not doing it if we're truly following Jesus? Now, I'm not listen, I've been there before too. Like, I know what the next step is. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so tough. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through a baptism story in the Bible. And I've never preached on baptism from this aspect because I've never seen this. I've been reading the Bible for like 48 years. And I've never seen what I'm about to teach tonight. And I got so excited about it. Anyway, I'll shut up, get straight to the text. There's a guy who wrote most of the New Testament. And his name is Paul. The Apostle Paul. And if you've been in church for 5 minutes, you've heard about the Apostle Paul. He's this good guy. But before he was Paul, he was Saul. And before he was good, he was bad. And so we're going to meet him when he's bad and see how he became good. Everybody good with that? Good, because that's what you're stuck with. That's all I got. Here we go. The Bible, this is Luke. The same author that wrote the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And this is what he tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, by the way, the fill in the blank outline tonight, there are no points and stuff. You're just writing out scripture. And I thought that was a good thing. We just write out scripture. And so some of y'all try to guess those blanks. And you can look ahead if you want, but I prefer you just. Anyway, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Now, we got to stop real quick because that sentence is loaded. Saul, we find out later, was one of the top 1% in the Pharisees. He was one of the most religious people on the planet. He woke up every single day and tried his best to figure out how to submit himself to over 600 laws. which, by the way, none of us woke up this morning thinking about that. We can't even keep the speed limit, much less 600 laws, right? So Paul tries meticulously to do these every day. And every Jewish ceremony or ritual that had ever been, Paul had been through it. Paul was the most religious, righteous person on the planet. With that in mind, let's look at that again. Saul was uttering threats with every breath. Problem? Yeah, when you're uttering threats with every breath, side note, something in the heart's off, right? Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if Saul is uttering threats with every breath and he's eager to kill the Lord's followers, pause, that's like breaking one of the top 10. This is proof right here that you can be religious and not have a relationship with Jesus. Paul was super religious, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And our churches all over the world are full of people who have a religion but don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. How do you spot them? Well, they're the people that are always uttering threats with every breath, and they're eager to kill the work of God. That was free. I don't know who that was for. I didn't say that this morning. So he went to the high priest. He went to the high priest because they knew each other on a first name basis. And he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. Now, the way is a reference to Christianity. We don't get called Christians until Acts 13. Up until Acts 13, we're kind of known as the way. Which I kind of like a little bit better than Christians. But anyway, the way is found there. He wanted to bring them, look at this, both men and women, and many scholars say children, back to Jerusalem in chains. Now, the reason he was bringing them back to Jerusalem was so they could be killed. So can we all agree that Saul, before he became Paul, is not the guy that we would want to see showing up in our church service? This is what we would call like a terrorist, right? And don't miss this. He didn't want to just kill people. He wanted to shame them by putting them in chains before he killed them. And I started thinking, man, that's what the enemy wants to do in so many of our lives today. In fact, I'll bet you there are people in this room, and I'll bet you even more there's somebody watching online, and the reason you're watching online is because you feel like you can't walk in a church because you're carrying so much shame. There are people in this room tonight carrying shame over what you did, over what was done to you. I know it because I battle with those same things too, but you know what I've discovered in Christ? Christ shatters the power that shame has in our life. If we'll stop giving the shame attention and start giving the Savior attention, we can walk in victory. I'm getting fired up. Woo! Okay, here we go. Here we go. I might take a lap. It's going to happen one day. It's going to happen. I should bring the tambourine back out. Verse 3. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And I know some of you are like, oh, UFOs. There's no such thing as UFOs. They do not exist. Aliens are not real. If you think they're real, okay, go back to your trailer park, take a picture of one that's not fuzzy, bring it back to me, and maybe I'll think they are. It's just a side note. UFOs aren't real. They're not real. They're not real. So I'm not coming back to this church. Sometimes that filter kicks in. Watch this. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him. Now, I want to point something out. And I like to do this from time to time, but I don't want to just look at the words. I want to look at the punctuation. Saying to him, Saul, and what's this little piece of punctuation right here? Exclamation point. So this is Jesus. Is he yelling at Saul? Uh-huh. And just for good measure, he says it again and yells again. Jesus is yelling at Saul. Saul's on his way to like crush the church, and Jesus is like, you picked a fight with my wife. Bad idea. So he yells at him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Can we say this would be like a great example of God getting somebody's attention? Do you know if you pray for God to make himself real to you? Let me pause. I dare somebody to pray that tonight. I dare you to pray, God, make yourself real to me and watch what he does in your life this week. I've got a friend, it's a true story. He considered himself a Buddhist energy coach. True story. Buddhist energy coach, which I never put those two together because Buddhists are always sitting and I never put that with energy, but that's what he identified as, a Buddhist energy coach. And another guy that we knew was trying to reach him for Christ, and they were going back and forth. And finally, he told my buddy, he said, listen, I need to know that God is real. And if God will make it clear to me that he is real, I'll give my life to Jesus. And our other friend said, okay, I'm going to pray that God makes himself real to you. The next day, our Buddhist energy coach friend called our other friend and said, I just gave my life to Christ. He said, okay, walk me through what happened. He said, I was driving down the interstate. And y'all remember several years ago those God billboards that were all over the place? He looked up and saw one, and it said, I am real God. He said, all I needed. He pulled over, gave his life to Christ right there. I'm just telling you, when you ask God to get your attention, that's a true story, by the way. You're like, that's such a preacher story. I'm a preacher. That's my story. It's true. So God got his attention. And then Paul said, who are you, Lord? Now, notice Lord isn't capitalized here because he's not ready to go big L, capital L, Lord. It's just uncapitalized. This is more like Mr., and I'll show you that in just a second. He's like, I don't know who you are, but you're obviously more powerful than me. So who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Jesus is still yelling. And this is, I want to pause and say, do you think at this point Paul thought his days were over? Yes or no? Absolutely, he did. He thought, I have messed up so bad, he's just gonna wipe me off the face of the planet. But Jesus was pursuing him, not to punish him, but to get him in a place where he could be used in ways that he never would have imagined on his own. And if Jesus is pursuing you, it's not because he's trying to punish you. He's trying to prepare you for something better than you giving up and surrendering to your own ideas rather than his. Okay? Let's keep going. Thank you so much. I got one. No. What? No, I'm going to earn it. Verse 6. Now get up. I love that. He didn't say, Paul, just lay there. Tell people your sad story about how you got knocked off a horse. Write a book about it. Go on a talk show. He said, Paul, get up. And watch this. Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, if I'm Paul, I got a question at this point. Why don't you just tell me here, since you got my attention, since you knocked me off the horse, and since I'm at, why don't you? But Jesus was telling Paul, I've got some revelation for you, but I can't give it to you where you are. I need to get you to a place where I can give you revelation. Now, here's what's crazy. Back in those days, they didn't have church buildings like we have. They had houses. They met in houses. He was going to a guy's house named Judas. We're going to not like Iscariot, another Judas, which talk about an unpopular name after that thing. But he was going to a guy's house named Judas. Many scholars and theologians believe that a church met in his house, which I love. Jesus is telling Paul, hey, Paul, I need for you to get to church so I can give you revelation in the church through my voice and the voice of others, so you will learn that this whole Christianity thing is not about you. And I pause to say, there are certain things that God wants to share with us and God wants to show us that we can only see when we show up in church. That's why it's essential if we're going to grow in our relationship with Jesus to be plugged in to a local church. Even listen, I always tell people, I've had people come through the first timers area, I'm looking for a church and this ain't it. I'm like, tell me what you're looking for. I'll help you find it. Just go to one and get plugged in. Because if you do, I promise you, you will grow. And all the people out there trying to be Lone Ranger Christians, I don't need the church. Then why did Jesus die for it? Just a thought. Okay, we're going to keep going. Verse 7. Everybody's getting uncomfortable. Verse 7. Oh, God, I love this. Let y'all get that blank filled in real quick. Nobody listening to me anyway. All the type A people got to get that filled in. I think this is a funny exchange between this guy named Ananias and God. And the reason I'm going to bring this up is because there are people in this room that have said it. I've said it before until I saw it in the scripture. We said, hey, if God would speak to me the way he spoke to people in the Bible, well, I'd listen. I'd do it. If God would just speak to me like he spoke back then. But here's what I know. We wouldn't do it. You know how we know? Because the people in the Bible, many of them didn't do it. Watch this. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. Wouldn't you just love a vision? I would love a vision. If you've had one, don't tell me about it tonight. But the Lord spoke to him in a vision called Ananias. Did he yell at Ananias? But only once, because they were tight. They were tight, right? And look at Ananias. What does he say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Isn't that great? Ananias got up. He's making some coffee. He's got a little Keurig over here. Maybe he's a coffee snob. He's got his beans. And he's just having the best day. And he sees this vision. And God says, Ananias. And he's like, yes, Lord. Yes, whatever you want, the answer is yes. I am here. I surrender. Can you see it? Because it's about to change. Watch this. By the way, God, when he gives us revelation, it's not ambiguous. It's very specific. Watch how specific God gets. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. Pause. Don't you love that? Saul was praying. He had just met Jesus, didn't know what was going on, but he's praying, and in his mind, nothing is happening around him, but unknown to him over here, Paul is praying, God is working. Paul is praying, God is working. And that's just a reminder that even when we don't see God working, it doesn't mean that he's not working, because Jesus said, my Father is always at his work and he's always working for his glory and for our good. So God is always working, but he got so specific. And if Ananias is a note taker, he's like, okay, Straight Street, got it. Judas's house, been there, love Judas. Man from Tarsus named, that's going, might be a problem, but keep going. Watch this. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias, and Ananias is like, crap, that's me. And coming in and laying hands on him, which that was going to be a problem. Because the Christian community wasn't incredibly large at this point, and it's a high likelihood that Ananias had friends, possibly family members, that had been killed by Saul. Is this going to be a difficult thing for Ananias to do? Yeah. So you got to lay hands on him so he can see again. Now, when God first showed up, what did Ananias say? Yes, Lord. Watch what happens next. But Lord, hadn't we done it? Yes, Lord. I don't know about that, God. I mean, you got a plan B? You got a second option? And this is what I want you to do. But Lord, watch this, exclaimed Ananias. Now, this next part is going to be so hard to believe. You're not going to believe people used to live like this. Watch this. Ananias tells God, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. So he pushed, this is crazy, he pushed the pause button on God's voice so he could allow the fear of the voice of others to take over control of his life, so much so that he began telling God what other people thought, as if God cared. God, I've heard what you said. Sounds amazing. Straight street. You just got to. But God, have you seen the Facebook thread on Saul? This guy is, I mean, have you seen Instagram? Have you seen Snapchat? I mean, there's a couple things deleted, but like, have you seen what he's posting on? He tried to say no to God's voice because he was so obsessed with what the voices of others have told him. And we do the same thing. I had a guy tell me one time, he's like, man, I'd love to get baptized, but I can't. I was like, you can't? Like, is there something physical? He's, nah, man. And just my mama get mad. You're 41. You're 41. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of mama's boy. Yeah, she had me sprinkled when I was a baby. She told me if I got baptized, it would disrespect her. I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? You're a grown man. You got to make your own decisions. Getting sprinkled as a baby, that's a religious ritual, but that is not a biblical baptism. Baptism happens after salvation. Sir, you need to grow a set. That's what I told him. He got dunked. It's good. It's fine. It's great. I think his mama cut him out of the wheel, but he's fine. He's good. It's okay. I just don't want us to get so caught up in what other people might say that we just miss out on what God wants for our lives. Watch this. And I love this. This one got me. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. This is what happens when we let fear of man take over our lives. Don't miss this. Ananias started telling God about the priest authority. They've got authority, and God's going, oh, you want to compare authority? Let's go. You got a little bunch of little men running around Jerusalem, and I'll rule over an ever-expanding universe. I think I got this. That's why when God tells us to do something, and he has what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I just know God has the authority that he has the whole situation in his hands. Isn't that good news? I love it. He was trying to tell God about the priest authority. And I'm sure, I can't prove this, but I think God probably smirked. At least, might have laughed a little bit. I don't know. But the Lord said, go. Notice the Lord didn't say, oh. Well, I didn't consider that. I didn't see the Facebook thread. I didn't know it was going to upset so many people. I didn't know the priest. You know what? I am doing a bad job at being the creator of the universe and running. Oh, God didn't say, oh, he said go. In other words, God's not changing his mind. When God shows us his next step, he's not changing his mind. Go. Watch this. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as the people of Israel. Pause. Saul never imagined any of that happening in his wildest dreams. Go tell Saul, I've got an incredible plan for his life. And then he said, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Side note, there's no record of Ananias telling him that. Ananias was like, yeah, I'm probably just going to let him figure that out on his own. I mean, he'll figure that out a couple days in. He never told him that. Sometimes, so he wasn't completely obedient. Here we go, next verse. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him. Talk about forgiveness. Talk about forgiveness. Man, one of the things that will destroy somebody's life from the inside out is the unwillingness to forgive. Don't. I know it hurt. I know they hurt you. But we follow a man named Jesus who, while being crucified, said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That's why when people tell me, "Pastor P, they've never asked for my forgiveness," I'm like, neither did the people crucifying Jesus, and he forgave them anyway. Amen. That's what it's about. Y'all feel how tense it got in the room? Oh, forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Sometimes you got to do it every day. Don't think, "I've forgiven them," and the next day you're mad. You just got to keep doing it. Another message, another time. Brother Saul, so we know he's Baptist. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then this next verse, Luke just kind of mentions it and keeps on moving. And if I'm in a Bible class with Luke, I got my hand raised going, hey, I'm going to need you to explain this next verse, because this is what he said. "Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized." How'd that happen? How did that happen? Because if anybody could have skated by the baptism rules, I mean, it was Saul. I mean, he had been through every Jewish religious ritual there was to bring somebody close to God. None of us combined had been through as many ritual ceremonies as Saul. But then he remembered this man named Jesus who said, when people become my followers, their first step is baptism. That's their first step. And so I love the fact that the believers didn't say, "I don't know, man. I don't know. He's been killing people. Let's wait 4 weeks and see if he kills anybody. If he don't kill anybody in 4 weeks, we'll dunk him. Let's get him signed up for a class so he completely understands the theological ramifications of this thing called baptism." They didn't do that. When the 3,000 people got baptized in Acts chapter 2, do you think all of them were perfect? I was talking to somebody recently. They said, "I can't get baptized." I said, "Why?" They said, "I'm so messed up." I said, "Pause. Everybody in our church is messed up. Everybody in our church is messed up. Have you prayed to receive Jesus?" The answer was yes. Then baptism is your next step. You don't have to. I had a guy one time. He's like, "I'm drinking too much, Pastor P. I'm drinking too much." I'm like, "Listen, we can deal with the drinking later. I'm going to agree with you. That's a problem. But you don't have to quit drinking to get baptized. You get baptized to take one step closer to Jesus. All baptism is us taking one step closer to Jesus. And my question is, why wouldn't we want that? Not just for us, but for everybody on the planet to take one step closer to Jesus. I'm going to call that a win, but I'm still confused. How did that happen, Paul? And I'm so glad Paul explained it. This is Luke telling the story. In Acts 22, Paul tells the same story, but just a few different details. Here we go. Acts 22, verse 12. A man, this is Paul talking. He said, a man named Ananias lived there, talking about Damascus. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, regain your sight." And at that very moment, I could see him. Can you imagine that? I've killed people that you, can you imagine the tension in that moment? And then, watch this. Then he told me, I love this. "The God of our ancestors has chosen you," watch this, "to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear him speak." And I'm like, sign me up for all three. I mean, don't you want to get signed up for all three? Like, to know his will, check. To see the righteous one, in other words, see Jesus in ways that we've never seen him before. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to see Jesus in a way you've never seen him before? Yes, sign me up. And to hear him speak, yes, Lord, I want to hear you speak. And some of us are like, if you tell me to do the good things, I don't want to quit anything. I don't want to forgive anybody. But he said, that's what God wants you to do. Watch this. This is great. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. And here it is. This is it. This is what got me. Ananias. I think he paused. I think he looked at Saul. And he said, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. And this very, very religious Jewish man got up and got baptized because somebody looked at him and said, what are you waiting for? I want to ask somebody in this room tonight, you didn't sign up for baptism, but you haven't been baptized since you met Christ. Honest question. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I want to make sure my mama and my daddy and everybody, that you're never going to get them together. And we got this real cool thing called the internet. This service will be on it. You can put it on the big screen and watch popcorn and watch yourself get baptized, right? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I close with this story. Several years ago, I was at this pool party thing. Have you ever stared at something and you know you shouldn't be staring, but the fact that you know you shouldn't be staring makes you stare more? Anybody? The problem, it was another woman's legs, and I couldn't quit staring at her legs. This is before you, baby. It was so obvious that I was staring at her legs that a buddy of mine's like, bruh, you need to quit. I'm like, I can't help it. And here, let me qualify. I wasn't staring at her legs because she was like well-built. I wasn't staring at her legs in a lustful way. I was staring at her legs because I never had seen anybody with orange legs. I told my friend, I said, no, I think she's turning into an Oompa Loompa. And if we don't get her some help, this could be serious. And his wife busted out laughing. She said, oh, she's using a product called self-tanner. Yeah, y'all remember when it first came out, it wasn't that good. It made you look like an Oompa Loompa or Donald Trump, whichever one you want to look like. It made you look like that, right? And so I was like, oh my gosh, why would she do that to herself? Now, self-tanner, I've been told, has made some progress, and it doesn't make you look orange anymore. Now, here's the point in the message where I would typically ask people who use self-tanner to raise your hand, but you wouldn't do it because, see, you used it so people would think that you got a tan. So I don't call it self-tanner. I call it fake tanner because that's what it is. Now, some of y'all are like, I just feel really picked on. I feel like you're kind of picking on the ladies. Okay, men, let's talk about your hair. We ain't going to talk about women's hair, okay? We're going to talk about men's hair. Men, let me just give you some advice. As you get older, if your hair turns gray or turns loose, just embrace it. Just embrace it. Don't get the things drilled in. I remember I was hanging out with some friends one time. I had a friend. I knew him for about a year. He was older. He had a toupee. I didn't know he had a toupee. We were all laughing. He was like, ha, 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 and he threw his head back, and his toupee went, and I went, wow. It looked like God split the Red Sea right down the middle of his head. And he came back, and it landed crooked, and nobody would tell him. I was like, oh, my gosh, I kind of wanted to watch, just kind of fix it for him. But true story, it really happened. And I've never forgotten that because whether it's self-tanner or whether it's toupees, people are so quick to embrace the fake so we can look like we're real. But tonight, what you're going to see in that pool, what you're going to see in that pool is as real as it gets. Because each person that stands in this pool, I'm going to ask them in that pool. Greg's going to ask them, who is your Savior and Lord? And they're going to say it out loud, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say on your profession, in Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, I baptize you, my brother, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when I take them and I lower them down in that water and I bring them back up, it's a reminder that Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross for you and me. He was buried, but 3 days later, he came back to life. And it's also a reminder for each one of us that have prayed to receive Christ, that when we prayed to receive Christ, we were dead in our sins, but when we prayed to receive Christ, our old nature was buried and we are made brand new in Christ. And that's what it symbolizes when we come out of the water. What are you waiting for? If you prayed to receive Christ and you have not been baptized yet, what are you waiting for? Maybe tonight is the night you showed up to be a spectator, but God's knocking on the door of your heart going, now we need to be a participator. So y'all stand with me for prayer. Jesus, I want to thank you tonight for every single person in this room, every person watching online. And God, I just want to pray that we would be just so open to whatever you want to do in each one of our hearts. And right now with heads bowed and eyes closed all over this room, maybe you're here tonight and you've never prayed to receive Christ. You've never asked Jesus to come in your life. You've never had your sins forgiven. All that stuff I was talking about being forgiven and shame being shattered and being made new. You've never had that experience. And so tonight, before we do baptism, I wanna invite you to ask Christ into your life. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, you want that new beginning, I'm gonna invite you to do that right where you stand. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer from this stage, and I'm just gonna ask you to repeat this prayer back, but I'm gonna ask you to do it out loud because I want you to hear you say these words. And you're not gonna have to say it alone because our entire Second Chance family, we're gonna pray this prayer with you so you'll know you're stepping into a relationship with Jesus supported by so many people in this room. So if you're here tonight and you know you need to pray to receive Christ, you pray this with me. Second Chance fam, let's make sure they don't pray it alone. Just say, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross. And you rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just prayed that prayer and asked Christ to come into your life, I want to pray for you and I want to celebrate with you. So do me a favor. I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to stick your hand straight up in the air because I want to pray with you and pray for you. Here we go. One, two, three. All over the room right now. Oh, my gosh. Keep them up. 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 Jesus, I want to thank you for every single hand that just went up. God, you still save people. You still change lives. And you're doing it in this place, in this house tonight. In your name we pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you just pray to receive Christ, your next step is baptism. And you're in luck because you can do it tonight. We got you a towel and we got you a t-shirt. And you got, well, hey, what are you waiting for? There are people in this room tonight, you have prayed to receive Christ, but you've been fighting this. You've been fighting it for so long. Why would you resist the next thing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants for your life? If you pray to receive Christ and you've never been baptized, tonight's your night. So whether you pray to receive Christ tonight or whether you've done it another time but you haven't been baptized, if you know that's you, and you want to do it tonight, step out of your aisle right now. Don't even look. Just step out of your aisle and walk out the back doors, walk out the exit doors. We got volunteers and staff members. They'll meet you back there. We'll get you. Go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We'll give you a t-shirt. We'll give you a towel. And we will get this happening. Let's go. There are people moving. Let's let them know that we're cheering for them. Let's let them know if you pray to receive Christ. Let's go. Let's go. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Let's go. If you know this is your next step, what are you waiting for? Let's go. Let's go. Second Chance, let's let them know. Let's let them know how excited we are.